A coalition-commissioned review of the biggest infrastructure project of the last government has found that in rural areas at least, the cost of the NBN would far outweigh the benefits. The first ever cost-benefit analysis of the scheme, undertaken by a panel appointed by the Abbott government, found that overall the model proposed under the NBN would be more costly and slower to deliver than the coalition plan. The Communications Minister Malcolm Turnbull joins me now in the studio. Mr Turnbull, it's no surprise, is it, that you would embrace the findings of this analysis?
Yes, it certainly confirms the decision by the government to proceed with a multi-technology mix and not persevere with Labor's plan to take fibre into 93% of premises. On a financial basis, purely financial basis, that saves over $30 billion. And when you do the cost-benefit analysis, which has been done now and completed, which takes into account all of the social benefits to the whole society, e-health, education, the works. Even on that basis, the approach we're taking is $16 billion better. That's to say, Australians are $16 billion better off by taking the approach we're taking. Now, the tragedy, of course, is that this work was not done before Labor embarked on the NBN project back in 2009. I mean, this is a great piece of work, but it would have saved tens of billions if it had been done four or five years ago.
It's certainly a great piece of work for your argument. But the report does say that providing wireless services to the bush exceeds the benefits by almost $7,000 a household. Is that sustainable over the long term?
Well, it's a subsidy. There's no question about that. It's the government, the nation can afford it. We can afford that cross-subsidy. But it's undoubtedly true. The cost of providing telecommunications to regional and rural areas is dramatically higher than people's capacity or willingness to pay.
But that's
hence
something you're prepared to
wear. Subsidy.
I mean, if you do a cost-benefit analysis like they did, they found a better return would come from an entirely unsubsidised rollout. And, of course, that's true, isn't it?
It would, but that would result in people in those areas having very poor telecommunications, and that's not acceptable in Australia. But it's good to own up. When you're making a big subsidy to anybody or any area, it's important to be clear-eyed and open about what you're doing. And this is a very significant subsidy in the order of $5 billion.
The political reality for you, though, is that you could not do that with your National Party colleagues in the
coalition.
Well,
regardless of the politics, we wouldn't want to do it. I mean, it is access to telecommunications and to broadband is a very, very fundamental need for people living in a modern society like Australia.
Okay, on coalition politics more broadly, there are reports this morning that the Prime Minister told the party room yesterday that he arranged a visit to Melbourne so he could justify billing taxpayers for a private function the night before. Is that true?
Well, are you asking, did he say that to the party room? No, he didn't say that to the party room. He said he was in Melbourne and he did go to a private function.
But, so the reports are wrong.
Well, the way you phrase it doesn't sound right to me, but I think Tony was quite upfront and said that he had been in Melbourne and he had been to a fundraiser the night before.
But he didn't use that to justify billing the taxpayers.
I don't recall him saying that, no.
Okay. On the budget, there's a lot of experience in this government, obviously. Many of you were in senior positions in the Howard government. Why has the sales job been so bad?
Well, look, I'm not going to agree with your premise, Michael. The budget is a very important project. I mean, let's be quite clear about this. We are the only people in this building that have a plan to address the mess of debt and deficit that Labor left us in. Without a plan to get out of debt and deficit, we will end up within the decade with nearly $700 billion of debt.
Sure that's the argument that you've been putting, but it doesn't seem that it's convincing the crossbenchers. There's a lot of disquiet in the community about some of those concerns, and you haven't got the budget through.
Well, we've got most of the budget through. We've got $15 billion of savings over the forward estimates are already done.
According to Barnaby Joyce, it's a melanoma. You've got most of it through, but we're all going to die.
There are a number of measures that we have not reached agreement with the crossbenchers for, but you've got to remember that the Labor Party could support any element of this budget and it would pass. They've got an up, but we don't need the Greens or Clive Palmer or anyone. The reason the budget is not being passed in its entirety is because of Labor. Now, I respect Labor's right to disagree with the budget, but what I think is appallingly reckless is that as posing as an alternative government, they do not have an alternative plan. You see, what if you take Labor at face value, they're saying nothing's wrong. Everything's fine. Just keep on running up the debt. Just keep on writing out billions of dollars of interest. Keep on denuding the Australian people and the taxpayers generally of the resources to build for the future. How can we invest for the future if we keep on running massive deficits? And how can we stop doing that without a budget repair plan? We have one. Labor doesn't like it. What's their alternative? They do not have an alternative.
Well, there's not entire agreement on your plan. I mean, there's some problems with the GP co-payment within the coalition. Was that put to Cabinet?
The GP co-payment, of course, the whole budget went through the Cabinet process, absolutely.
Right, so it all got Cabinet approval.
Of course it does. It goes through the Expenditure Review Committee and the Cabinet. Yeah, no, there's quite an elaborate process.
Okay, you've still obviously yet to convince Clive Palmer. In fact, he's very adamant that he won't be for turning on this. You've known him for a long time. You've had close talks with him recently. Does no really
I've had some
no?
success with Clive, too.
Does no really mean no when it comes to Clive?
To the future of financial advice reforms.
Look, so you can turn him
hope. Well, I'm not saying I can, but the fact is you certainly won't turn anybody, change anybody's mind or reach a common ground with them unless you talk to them. And we just have to keep at it. Look, we're both familiar with this place for some time. It is very unusual for governments to have a majority in the Senate. It is very unusual for governments to be able to guarantee the passage of any legislation through the Senate. So what is happening here is situation normal, and I just want to stress that there is no sort of drama or crisis or anything of that kind. We are in a standard, methodical situation. The government's presented its budget; most of it's gone through. Tick. There are some controversial issues which we are needing to negotiate with the crossbenchers. Absolutely regular, mundane, daily business of politics.
Can I just ask you quickly about some flyers that are flying that have been distributed around your electorate, anti-Semitic leaflets in quite a few houses across eastern Sydney. Have you seen them, and what do you think of it?
I have seen them. They are despicable. They are racist, anti-Semitic filth, and they do not simply seek to intimidate the Jewish community. They seek to and serve to undermine the stability and security of our whole country. This is the most successful multicultural society in the world. Our security, our prosperity, our safety depends on it remaining that way. And people who think that they can pick on one ethnic group or another, and if it's the Jews in Bondi yesterday, it'll be somebody else tomorrow. We know that. Those people don't just intimidate those groups. They gnaw away at the foundations of the whole society, and that's why they should always be condemned. We should have zero tolerance for racism. Zero tolerance for racism.
Okay, Malcolm Turnbull, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.